This episode of the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you by Jaden and Crusader. Jaden and Crusader is the story of a British emigre, a Crusader H. Crusader, and his new life in the United States. Jaden is his much-suffering housemate, pretty, witty, and crushingly lonely. Read on and you'll meet the man with no sense of humor, a catgirl assassin who loves Gears of War, and Sir Reginald Derby III, Earl of Derbyshire, a time-traveling detective also known as a strange man in the cupboard. That's JadenandCrusader.com.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
This is the only time I ever get anybody to be quiet. This is episode 108 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com, and what the hell was that?
I think you tried to beep yourself out.
Anyway, I am here with my two adorable co-hosts. First off, we have Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
And Mark Savory of autumnlake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
And we got a couple of guests this week. We missed out on Jules, who is preoccupied with family at the moment, so she had to bow out. But we'll get her on another show. That is a promise. But we have Jilly Fu of... a demon eater, and I keep trying to forget. I forget the other one.
Oh, closest to heaven.
Ah,
hi there.
Welcome to the show. Mm-hmm. And Nate Hammond of Jazz and Jess at jazzandjess.com.
That's the one.
All right, there we go. All right, all the way from merry old England. Correct.
Yeah.
I was going to say Europe, but that's not correct, even despite what
Ouch.
Project Wonderful says.
Yeah, it's a sore subject over here. At least lots of intakes of breath through teeth, like, ooh, don't know about that.
Yeah.
Got that one wrong. Yep.
But actually, I have yet to put it out yet, but on the last week's Rampage Network Community Podcast, we ended up talking about the Project Wonderful regioning, and it's America, Canada, Europe, and then everywhere else. It's like, what? But perhaps we can talk about that later. We'll save a bunch of stuff for news at the end of the show. Right now, if you're listening to us live, it's probably on Ustream or TalkShoe. Which one are we going to be using? Well, if you go to webcomicbeacon.com/live, you'll get a link for both our Ustream and our TalkShoe. We are currently simulcasting, and to see which one of the two is going to be more prevalent for listeners, we'd like to stay on Ustream because I think the audio quality is better. But if people like to have TalkShoe yet, we'll keep it going on TalkShoe. And actually, I'm going to... I'll just let the people decide. But that's where people can go. We've been broadcasting live for the longest time, and I think damn near close to the beginning. Maybe not the first month or not. I don't quite remember, but I did find out that there's another webcomic a webcomic podcast that started before us. but pretty close to before us, but they started before us, but they have less episodes than us, and it's The Dish. Basically a podcast that spawned from Comic Dish, a comic hosting site. And I heard on their episode 100 that they mentioned us as hey, there's this podcast that thinks they're the only webcomic podcast called the Webcomic Speakin'. And so I'm mentioning them because they mentioned us. So
they mentioned us not exactly in a complimentary way, but those twats think that they're the only ones. Like, that's not.
No, they were referring to us as what I said on the show beforehand. It was kind of like
you only said that so they'd mention us, and then you.
It's a misreference anyway, but it's still. I talked to the guy in email, and It's pretty funny. So there's another podcast I never knew of, and apparently there's 100 episodes of it. So,
oh, well, there we go. Oops.
All right. So, this episode is all about you. Yes, this is about self-insertions, Mary Sue's, and, well, I guess avatars would be another way of looking at it. People that put themselves in the comic, maybe just visually, or maybe an actual name is in there too, or maybe a highly idealized character that doesn't really look like you, but you say it's you anyway. There are certainly some people that are probably guilty of that. But is it, Jill, would you say it's narcissistic?
There was a lot of words. Well, yeah, that's kind of one of the words. There's like a lot of stuff. I did some research. They said egocentric, self-obsessed. Mm. Yeah, they got things like that.
I'll just claim to be guilty then. That'll save a lot of time.
Yeah, but you have a journal comic that kind of makes it.
Doesn't that automatically make me egocentric?
Well,
and self-obsessed.
Well, I've not decided the same my way life as a series.
Not the same way as some other comics.
Okay. It's a different egocentric self-obsession.
Well, someone like Mark Savory, who has a character in his comic, and it's not a journal comic, but it's a comic, and it stars a character named Mark that makes comics.
Who just happens to be, you know, very similar.
Who happens to be a loser too?
Yeah.
I was going to say similar in self-deprecation, but you know,
it might be an anti-Sue, maybe
an anti-Sue.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. What is a Mary Sue? That's a question.
That's a very good question.
Jilly, I figured you would know this since you do a lot of research.
TV Tropes. It's a self-insertion character that's usually in fan fiction. Highly idealized, practically perfect in everything, and they kind of take over the story. You guys put more input into it, too, you know.
Right. I think a lot of times, do we know of any comics that really has that can do? I suppose CAD has that jack-off character in there. But is that
the one?
Well, the main one. I'm not sure if that's a self-insertion or not, but he definitely would be a Mary Sue, I think.
There was an argument at that site that canon Sues cannot be Mary Sues, or it's only in fiction. What do you guys think of that?
Canon Sues?
Yeah, canon Sues means that it's an original story, but you have a character in there that's a Mary Sue.
I can still think.
Canon Sues.
I still think, okay, I think it's the same thing. Because it results from the same sloppy writing, sort of.
Well, it's not...
mindset. It's bad writing.
I would argue that that's not always the case. I mean, sometimes... I'm pretty sure there's some people that have... Okay, like Jenny Romanchuk, who does The Zombie Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is... At least one of the main cast, if not maybe probably the main character's name is Jenny, and I think it's actually her last name too. But
well, but a Mary Sue in self-insertion isn't exact. I mean, it's not necessarily.
I mean, I suppose you could say I'm quite guilty of that, really. I mean, because not only do I appear in my comic, but my main character was pretty much based on me when I created him anyway, and they interact. So I'm guilty of both sides of it, in fairness.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wait, Mary Sue differs from a self-insertion Mary Sue is more of the can-do-no-wrong aspect.
Yeah, and if your self-insertion is realistic, then it's not a Mary Sue character. A Mary Sue character, I've seen a couple of places where a Mary Sue character can be inserted as a plot device. They're there because they're perfect and it's unrealistic in the context, in which case that's proper writing. I mean, that makes sense. You know, the other characters are somewhat flummoxed as to why this character is always perfect. That's comedic writing. But, you know, to have a Mary Sue character where literally their life is just gold, regardless of the horrid things that they do, that's crappy writing. It's like you don't know how to write a proper hero or heroine, so you just insert this character who's perfect in every way, and everything is always beautiful and glorious, and that's not even proper in children's literature.
Oh, like Least I Can Do.
Writing. Huh?
Like Least I Can Do.
Like Least I Can Do. Where, well, now, in some senses, you could say he's doing that for comedic intent. There are people in the comic that are, you know, confused as to why Rain's life is... why it always turns out okay for him, because he is such an ass in so many, you know, situations, but it always turns out right. And actually, you know, if you read through the series, there are many times where Rain becomes sort of conflicted, and you realize that it's not as golden as it's portrayed. So, not necessarily.
Now, for like, you're like, oftentimes for the examples you're using is like the really popular comics, but I kind of even wonder, would that really even be a Mary Sue too? Because, all right, because, you know, it's bad writing, but why are people so drawn to these very popular comics anyway, like Sasuke from Naruto, or like
well, because like they're Deegan,
they, yeah,
I could know, say, Don but Deegan, I don't really want to get mean.
Well, I really think when you look at those type of things like Naruto, you're really looking at a very young audience who isn't quite, you know, they don't have the nuance of real life yet.
Oh, I read it anyway. It's just a
yeah. But they might. What I'm saying is, they don't notice the writing. I mean, you know, I read it as well. I, you know, but it comes down to I notice it when, you know, when I see it, I'm like, okay, that was completely unrealistic. I recognize that. Where the younger audiences don't necessarily. And I think with webcomics, if you look at the demographics, if you look at webcomics that you relate and you look and you say, this is bad writing, and then you go to like Quantcast and look at their demographics, it tends to be 12 to 18. It's people that don't notice yet.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like when you're a kid, you like, you know, you maybe have watched the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and thought it was like the awesomest thing ever. And then when you look at it now, you realize how utterly terrible it is, writing and anime.
Before we were cynical.
Yeah, before we were cynical, exactly.
Yeah.
We had a very sheltered perspective.
Very.
And even of ourselves. You know, when you're 12, you can do no wrong. Anytime you get in trouble, it's because life is unfair. It has nothing to do with you. And as we grow older and sort of recognize our faults and the faults in others, you're supposed to, at least, sort of get rid of that perception. That's
we
the
are?
Goal. Yes. Oh. Yes, we are.
If only that were so, we wouldn't have these Twilight movies. But
yeah, that's there's an example right there, too. You know.
But again, their biggest market, 12 to 18.
No, and soccer moms.
Yeah, I know a few people at work, adults that read the series.
It's sad.
I know far too many adults who read the series.
Aren't they disenfranchised with their lives? That's my theory. Is that
or
the
maybe,
only time? Go ahead.
Maybe they just have to read something in between Harry Potter movies. I mean. Maybe they ran out of Harry Potter, and it's like, oh, what do I read now? Oh, Twilight. Oh, it's got vampires.
The problem is we're already on to the next one. It's Percy Jackson now, isn't it? And the Lightning Thief, whatever it is.
I know. Oh. I know. The Lightning Thief. Absolutely. We've moved on.
But we've moved on since Twilight. It's last Wednesday, that was.
I know. Of course, don't worry. There will be another one. Another horrible, horrible. But I think that when you look at adults who are into those type of characters, those just plastic, two-dimensional characters, it's that they are so disenfranchised with their own lives that any bit of perfect fantasy makes them feel good. It's like alcohol for the brain.
Yeah, but, you know, you said yourself you're Naruto, and there's that there.
I do. And you know what's really strange is as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, this is awful. But I want to know what happens next. And I'm not sure if it's just
so,
that
when maybe, I stopped reading it, I didn't care.
So maybe, sorry.
No, go.
Oh, so maybe they have enough good characters, or maybe they have an interesting enough world to keep you into it, even though there might be one, two, three characters that are totally off.
That are completely plastic. Yeah.
Yeah, so they have some things, good things for the bad things.
Right. When you look at Twilight, every character is bad. All of them. There isn't a single character that's three-dimensional in any way, shape, or form, or has any sort of normal motivation in life. All of them suck. And I don't care. I don't care what happens to them. If they all burn in a fire, or if they all live happily ever after, I'm completely neutral.
Rocks fall and everyone dies.
Actually, I can't see that.
What is that originally to?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't really see it as, you know, I didn't read any of the books. I just saw the first movie. But, you know, I kind of think it has, well, you know, the girl is supposed to be the self-insurgent character. You see this in tons of shoujo manga where the main girl is very generic. She's kind of the common mold for every single, you know, girl. Well, not every single girl there, but the common girl. And, you know, the guys, the Bishonen or whatchamacallit, they're there. You could still hear me, right?
Something
popped up. Okay. Well, where was I going? Okay, well, anyway, for these mangas and stuff, you know, it's supposed to represent the person reading the story, and then it kind of brings up the fantasy, you know, these handsome guys are all over you, and, you know, and so it's kind of, you know, where was it? The movie itself, it showed kind of atmosphere of love. You know, it was kind of more of an artistic thing. Necessarily was it real? It was kind of more just a slow dreaminess. And I think that was kind of the appeal from the movie.
Is you know, why Bella was such a flat character, so that you could put your personality in there?
Titanic had that way back when, too, when they had them up on the top of the ship and they were holding each other, you know. In middle school, that was like the thing. You
know? See, but I instantaneously... Oh, well, no, that would be probably why. I was far past middle school when Titanic came out. I gagged. I actually gagged watching the movie. I get to certain points and it just... This bile just rises. That's not the way life works, and it shouldn't. I think there's an instant reflex, at least in me, when I get to a point where it's something is so unrealistic. Instead of delving into the fantasy and feeling warm and cozy, I it's like a cold bath. It pops me right out, and it's this revulsion to... I find it insulting. Real life, in all of its complexity, is so amazing. Why do you have to blast away anything real in order to make people like it? That's what I hate about Mary Sue characters. You blasted away anything that makes them human in an effort to make people like them. And it seems insulting to the human race.
Well, the thing is...
That's not that hard to insult the human race, okay?
I'm not nearly cynical as you are.
Well, if the...
Really.
If the girl was too individualized, like Juno from the movie Juno, then it wouldn't appeal to the masses. You know, it wouldn't collect. You know, everyone won't. You know, it would be a specific thing. You know, a specific kind of person instead of like the masses. I think that's kind of what the idea behind that is.
You hollow the character out so that people can pour themselves in.
Yeah,
that's awful. I understand what you're saying,
but it's like it's one way to write. If you want to, it's kind of a manipulative way to write, but you know, shoujo manga pretty much I could argue does it all the time. Yes. You know, and if you write for teens, you know, teens, what did I get in my research I did yesterday? Teens have the ability, you know, have this, not all teens, but, you know, some, they have this thing called egocentrism, where they think everybody's thinking about them.
Yes.
And they're trying to find their identity. And in trying to find their identity, they can be everything and nothing. And having this Mary Sue character, you know, they could be everything, you know, And so they're trying to experiment and see which kind of self they want to be. And because this girl is, you know, in Twilight is so kind of empty of Mary Sue, they can experience, do I want to stand in and be this person that is loved by vampires and werewolves? Or do I want to be something else? They're still trying to find themselves.
Like somebody who's not so desperate as to throw themselves in front of moving vehicles so that someone will save them?
I don't get that.
Maybe that. That would be awesome.
Lois Lane.
And maybe that's part of my problem. Maybe April I just O'Neil. Intrinsically find it not responsible, you know, as a writer to say, here, insert yourself into this vapid vessel of a human being who cares about herself so very little that she will dream of a life amongst murderers. You know, that seems irresponsible to me. Please do not give that as a model for my child to look to. You know, don't let her try on that personality. Are there better personalities for people to try on? I mean, obviously, my poor daughter has no chance. She can't start the word Twilight without a two-hour lecture about how, you know, what a horrible role model that is for young women. But And I do understand, you know, trying on the different personalities. That's what fantasy's for. And that's why in movies like Harry Potter, books like Harry Potter and fantasy webcomics aimed toward young people, you see those characters who have so much power because as a child, you have none. And it's nice to try that on. You know, it feels good to try that on. And that seems worthwhile to me, to try on power and responsibility and all of those things. What peeves me is that what we're trying on is helplessness and vapidness and poor self-esteem and low aptitude.
And that's food for thought. While we take our first break, we'll be back after with a little bit more about self-insertion.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
I promise I'll never again drink coffee before the show.
Oh, you put some great input. I liked it. It's part of the reason I love to listen to this show. Oh, what will she say next?
Yeah, that's why I listen too.
Well, we've had some people talking in the chat room. Let's see here. As far as rocks fall and everybody dies, that refers to a D&D game where the dungeon master has basically lost control and basically says, "Screw you, guys." Let's see here.
Dungeon master power play.
Oh yes. Let's see. People are saying Wesley from The Next Generation is a good example of a canon Sue.
Oh, God.
Davies era Doctor Who has the Doctor as a canon Sue. Gabriel and Zeno is a canon Sue. Harry Potter's a canon Sue.
Yeah.
And, hey, have you guys ever seen on YouTube the How It Should Have Ended?
Yeah.
No.
Did they make a Twilight one? Because it'd be so funny if it just ended, like, if she got hit by a car instead, and then it'd be over.
I would watch that movie. It's like, oh, look, vapid girls die. That's a moral I can get behind.
So that'd be every single female in that film, then.
All of them. And actually, many of the men as well.
Many of the men as well, yeah.
Edward's not exactly a brain trust. Come on. He sparkles, but that's about it.
He sparkles. That's all he's good for.
He should be the new Mr. Clean.
That's a good one.
Every time I see the commercials, the Mr. Clean theme is going to come into my head now. That's brilliant.
All right, so we've gone over Mary Sue's. Let's talk a little bit more about self-insertion, where it's the step away from that. I mean, we have... we have Mark. We have Mark who has his comic with with the Mark character. Definitely not a Mary Sue.
No.
Somebody brought it up earlier. I don't remember who said it, but like an anti-Sue or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Anti-Sue.
Where I read about it. Was they said it in TV tropes. Like, they said it was, they're not good at anything, but everybody likes them anyway.
Oh, well, Mark doesn't qualify for that.
Yeah.
Well, no, all the readers like Mark. All the readers want Mark to do better. Like, when we read it, we think, oh, maybe this time things will be good.
Maybe this time.
That's actually a good thing. You want the readers to like your characters. The Mary Sue, everybody hates that character.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's true. Everyone loves Mark. It's just that we pity him, so that would be what makes him the anti-Sue. Yeah.
But couldn't one argue that's just as bad? I mean, as far as
I touched on this in my review of Autumn Lake that I actually have to read it in spurts because it depresses me.
It's so depressing.
I feel so bad for Mark, and I love him so much, and I want things to be good for him, and I know they never will. And so I have to read it, like, only when I'm in a good mood. So, yeah, I think it could be a bad thing as well.
I think when it's well done, it's like Charlie Brown, and I think somebody said, somebody on the staff of... like Charles Schultz's secretary or something told him that one day her little kid had a bad day at school or whatever and came home and he's like, Mom, I feel just like Charlie Brown today.
Aww.
You know, so I mean, that's when it's well done, that's when it can
well,
people
yeah,
can identify with that character for good or bad.
Yeah.
And when it's done like mine, it's just...
I was going to say, you know, Charlie Brown still got a kiss at Christmas. Like, come on.
And there's Snoopy.
He actually had a girlfriend. Did you know that? He had a girlfriend.
Well,
Charlie
yeah.
Brown. He had a couple. He was a Mac Daddy.
Yeah, the one that took the bus to see him. Yeah.
And a girl at camp or something.
The girl with the red hair or something like that who had cancer?
No, that's the one he wanted.
Who's the one that
had
cancer?
What?
No, was that Linus? There was a girl that had cancer, chemotherapy.
The chick who was sick was the original owner of Snoopy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, the girl from camp took the bus to see Charlie Brown a couple of times, and it was
that's
very
right.
sweet. But, see, and that's, you know, there's hope there, Mark. Maybe
yeah,
we can insert a little hope.
Mark's not Charlie Brown, though, so...
That's why I keep wanting to kidnap Mark and put him in Daisies and Shit, where life could be a little better for just a little while, and then he can go back home.
Surgical strike and removal
Surgical
of one character.
Surgical
yes. We're going to keep you over here for a bit and make your life happy.
Just for a while. We're going to force you to be happy. I've got chains if needed.
I think I had a strip where Mark was complaining about being a loser. And one of the other characters said, Mark, you're not a loser. You're really not a bad person at all. And Mark's like, I can be a loser if I want to be.
Yeah.
I know my comic has a self-insertion, and it's confusing. And I've gone over it before. But the point is that I guess I kind of made it into an anti-Sue. But not really. I try to make all my characters have flaws and make that more of the focus or whatever. But I don't think anyone actually roots for anybody. But let's see here. Nate.
Oh.
You haven't been talking much.
We run him over.
Go ahead and talk. What do you got?
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm probably guilty of like Mary Sue and self-insertion, as dirty as that sounds. with my characters. I mean, occasionally my characters will actually talk to me. You know, I've had one comic where my writing was just pants. So I decided that my characters would write it instead. And they talked to me.
You're going to have to translate English into American. They don't know what pants means.
It was rubbish. Crap.
There we go.
Yeah.
It was pants.
But then, like I say, I mean, my main character, Jazz, was pretty much based on me when I was in high school anyways. It's both Mary Sue and...
Self-insertion.
So, you know, I'm just playing both fields because that's how I roll.
And that's why we love you. is it a Mary Sue self-insertion? I mean, Nate does have, or Jazz does have a few flaws.
A few.
Did you rough around the edges and kind of?
He does kind of work for the bad guy.
Well, there's that. I find that because I do a journal comic, I feel compelled to gloss over everyone else's flaws. So they wind up being Mary Sue's just because I don't want to insult my actual friends. But beyond that, like, I try not to gloss over me, but I gloss over other people. Is there anyone else?
You said that, I kind of look forward to the day that you go on this massive kamikaze blitz and just rip the shit out of everyone.
I just get pissed off and screw you all. I can put you all out there like you really are. No, that's I don't even want that.
Okay, I got it. The Zombie Hunters at thezombiehunters.com. I scroll down and, yeah, Jenny Romanchuk has a character, Jenny Romanchuk, in the comic.
That's pretty blatant.
That is pretty blatant, but I'm wondering if
She's changed them because she's married now. It's Jenny Adams, so the character isn't actually her anymore. So, yeah, there we go.
Well, see? I'm wondering if any of the other characters might be based off of friends she has then.
They are, yeah.
Because I don't know how many people will actually directly self-insert like that. Usually the first name, at least. Or their nickname.
Yeah, all my characters are their middle names.
I mean, you can look at Penny Arcade, and you could argue self-insertion, but if you look at them, not really.
In the way they look, but in the way they act, very much so. If you talk to Mike and Jerry, if you didn't know really anything about it, and you sat and talked to Mike and Jerry, and then went and read Penny Arcade, you'd know who was who. It wouldn't take long.
Well, yeah, in that respect, but I'm pretty sure that neither one of them were actually committing mass murder, or
assorted things in
there. But
well, hopefully not.
But they kind of are. They kind of aren't in some aspects. But yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. But
the personalities are very similar, yeah. But it's fantasy self-insertion.
Fantasy self-insertion.
It's just getting dirtier and dirtier by the minute.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? It's lovely.
What about Pearls Before Swine, where the cartoonist Stephen, Paces, has his own character in there that appears from time to time, and he even killed himself off.
As an animal, I don't remember Pearls with Swine, Before Swine. I just remember it has like animals and stuff in it. Is he as an animal character or a human character?
Human.
Yeah,
as himself.
Yes, as a cartoonist at that.
Ah,
himself.
But then maybe wait, self-insertion, fourth wall breaking then.
Well,
that's a bit different than
it's not really fourth wall breaking because it's not as though it's his creations talking to him. It's like. His character lives with these animal things, and it's fantasy self-insertion.
Okay.
Breaking the fourth wall would be if all of a sudden the creations recognize the creator, and it's not as though he's in the comic drawing the comic. He's just a cartoonist in the comic.
But what about Sinfest? Because it pans out to the cartoonist a couple of times with the cat and the dog. The cat and the dog are also part of the comic.
Now, there is a difference between a cameo and being a self-insertion, you know. Yeah.
I think that's a fourth wall breaking cameo.
Yeah. Okay, so that I actually haven't seen it, so.
Yeah, if I remember, he doesn't actually like display any real personality traits to that self-insertion, does he? Just sort of is there and.
And he's drawn away, drawn away with the comic.
Yes, and then they talked with him, and then he goes away again.
It is basically just him being a cameo, just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not a character. He's not representing himself. It's just him. So that's fourth wall.
He's drawing the comic while people are coming up to him.
And that's fourth wall and cameo. I don't buy that as self-insertion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when they're an actual character throughout the whole thing, like a main character.
A character patterned after you, not you being there.
Yeah, I have that too. It had to happen during the crossover wars. It just had to.
Of course.
Of course it had to. That's when we had comics taking over other comics, and the authors had to get involved. And oh, man, that was crazy.
You should do that again.
Wow, Nate's trying to kill you.
Yeah. I'd be up for doing it with someone else.
Well, there has been some discussion, some rumors of sequel events to the crossover wars.
Well, now you know Nate's game.
I can't.
What the crossover wars were missing was chainsaws.
I can't really say a whole lot about any of the ideas that are floating around because it's. You know, nothing's been confirmed or official yet, so.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. particularly maybe a month in my comic, but in any case, let's see here. We also have, looking around here, looking to see what we got. I'm trying to click through my damn windows that are open. Jilly.
Yes.
Yes.
What's up?
Are you in any of your comics?
Well, in between each chapter, I used to have a Jillyfoo Adventures comic. And that was when, before the story really started to go anywhere with Planet Close to Heaven. I don't know. I kind of died out because, you know, I wanted to... I don't know, in the comics I'm like this brown rabbit thing, but the thing is that I want to be angry and mean and stuff, but I want to make myself look nice. You know, you have a stage self. So then I kind of gave up, and then I made Demon Eater. Because then, you know, it's not really you, and he can be as mean as he wants to.
Yeah. You know, I'm beginning to wonder, though, after, you know, talking to you guys and sort of looking at all the other comics, is it even possible to write other characters without some level of self-insertion? We are really the only thing we know inside and out.
Yeah, you write
not
what
everybody.
You know.
You write what you know, and, so, you know, half of what we decide, you know, okay, this would be the proper action is based on our instincts. Everything has to be some level of insertion.
I know people will look at people they know and not self-insert, but other insert or heavily borrow or something like that. I know that there's a little bit of me in several of my characters. It's not a full self-insertion through all the characters. It's just like... Huh. You know, it's like, you know, a lobotomized version in every little piece, you know.
When you talk about an author having a voice, you know, where you read a bit of their work and you know that it was them, mm-hmm. isn't that really just their measure of self-insertion? Their personality coming through their work?
You can have characters that are not a similar personality to... I mean, it's like I have several characters which... have actually gone against what I actually wanted them to do. This is that's where you have, you know, the versus, you have your script. I brought this up before, where you have your script, you have your plan, you have your idea, and then you have the muse. You have the muse that kind of like, no, they wouldn't do that. Oh, this is what they do. And it's like, and I brought this up before. Right now, Nemi and Bodil are two separate characters. Mm-hmm. Originally had them as one character, as a sort of combined, fused soul. But then, as I was writing, it was like, crap, they've have to split. Because that's so how things are going to have to work. And this is how this character would be and react to this. It's like, that's not what I planned. God damn it. You know, it's like, but it's so much better this way because that's really what would happen, you know? So I'm basically bringing this up to say, no, not always. You know, sometimes... You know, characters will develop a personality of their own, or sometimes people will spend a lot of time developing a character before they start and or borrow from other people and use that into there. It's like, I don't think everything is going to be some level of self-insertion. Sometimes, I mean, I'll argue no.
Good. Just curious.
Well, I showed you.
Now don't come back here again.
No, there's a valid point.
Yay! Fest 1, Tanya 50.
I'm fairly sure. It's good. I'm fairly sure it's not a game. It's all right.
Well, I'm good, because I'm losing anyway.
It's mining for opinions. It's good.
What about anybody else? Since, you know, I should stop talking.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it's even weirder when other people write your characters better than you do. Yeah.
Fanfic.
I hate this character. They suck. And then those are the ones you get the emails about. I love your character. Yeah.
Are you talking about people that are write the self-insertion character better than you do? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. People know you better than you.
I don't know if I've actually seen that myself, but that would be something.
I've got a couple of scripts coming up that my girlfriend actually wrote with me in them, where I show up and I'm just like, that's actually more, that's not what I'd write, but it's something I would do. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's just weird.
Is it ego deflating at all?
Maybe. Don't want to give too much away now.
Well, I mean, I have to say, you know, with self-insertion characters tend to say the thing you wish you'd said or do the thing you wish you'd done. You know, maybe my brain doesn't work nearly as fast as Janine's does. The things that she says to people are the things that I go home and think, damn it, I should have said this.
Like 5 hours later.
Yeah, they're in another county by now. It's far too late for me to just ring them up and say, ha! but, you know, I'll write a comic and that'll show no one.
Yeah, I do see that a lot in your stuff.
And it's the, you know, it's the thing that, or the thing that I know personally is not prudent to say at the moment. Janine says a lot of things that would get me hit. So, you know, there are those kind of things as well. And because of that, I see a lot of people who, because they relate Janine to me, are either somewhat surprised that I'm not, I guess, meaner in public. Than, you know, than I am in the comic, or you know, sort of expect me to be exactly like her, this perfect mirror image. Does anyone else ever have any issues with fans or readers expecting you to be a certain way because of the comic?
Well, it's very rarely I even get to see any fans. I'm just happy.
Nobody reads mine, so I don't know.
Oh God.
I think you're the only one in the world who reads mine, Tanya, so there you go.
I don't expect you to run around wielding a chainsaw or an axe and killing people. So,
okay.
There is that. What about you, Fess?
I'm sorry, what?
No. Do you ever run into issues where readers expect you to be a certain way because of the comic and then find that you're not like that? Am I the only one that talks to readers? Seriously?
Well, no, yeah. I want more reader feedback, but I don't really get a whole lot other than through a couple of tweets or a couple of posts on Drunk Duck. And even then, the characters, you know, Fess in the comic or Fessworks in the comic don't even really show up that often to really... I mean, you know, I kind of think that my characters are a little bit more one-dimensional than me. I mean, I think people know me more than my characters.
Yeah, I think people get more your personality from this show than really from your comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a distinct possibility.
I don't think most people that listen to this show read my comic and for various reasons.
What? It's linked there every single time.
Just because it's linked doesn't mean people click on it. I have Google Analytics now. True. I can see where these links come from.
And really, anyone who clicks the link for me is expecting boobs and masturbation, and that's not really what they get. So I don't know that the show's really helped the link through is very much.
But anyway, we're going to take... I think we've beat the issue to death enough, or at least the characters... And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got some news to discuss.
This episode of the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you by Jaden and Crusader. Jaden and Crusader is the story of a British emigre, a Crusader H. Crusader, and his new life in the United States. Jaden is his much-suffering housemate, pretty, witty, and crushingly lonely. Read on and you'll meet the man with no sense of humor, a catgirl assassin who loves Gears of War, and Sir Reginald Derby III, Earl of Derbyshire, a time-traveling detective also known as a strange man in the cupboard. That's JadenandCrusader.com.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
I do not sit out in the bushes beside my fans' houses. I don't know where they live. They're smart enough to not give me addresses.
Now, do you run into them at cons?
I do. I do at conventions. When I was doing conventions, I quit for this year. But
you're going to PangoCon.
Well, I'm going to PangoCon, but not really because I'm pimping myself. I'm just going because PangoCon is fun.
Anyone going to...
Probably make some money pimping yourself, but meh.
Yeah.
Anyone go to anime ones?
I guess
I'm going to ASIN this year.
I go to NDK, Nandesu Con, in Denver when I go. And I never meet fans at NDK. For one, the crowd at NDK is very young. Young enough that I actually feel bad selling them my thing.
I understand that. I get that at FallCon.
Highly sexual, and I don't feel right giving this to you. Like, my biggest seller at NDK is a shirt that says, "I'll do yaoi for milk and cookies."
No.
Yeah, which is a huge seller. But I'm selling them to 14-year-old girls. And I'm just like, do you know what this means? Do you understand you're suggesting you'll do porn for snacks? Do you get this?
Porn, so snacks? What's the difference? Anyway,
I think it's part of their big in joke, too, because the parents don't understand what yaoi is.
I feel guilty. So, but I don't really meet fans at anime because I don't do...
I get parents that buy one of my books for their kids, and there's like swear words and stuff in it, and I'm just like, no.
Are you sure? Yeah, it's like, yeah, my brain splits. It's like part of me is like, cash, yay! And then the other part is, this is morally wrong. I feel bad.
I'd listen more to the cash voice myself. But.
Well, you'll notice I still sell the shirts.
Yeah, by the way, where can I get one of those?
You know what? I will send you one.
Okay. We have a couple of milestones to go over. If you have a milestone, please don't tweet it. Please send it to our email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com with 100 to 500 and then each 1,000 or an annual or like an anniversary. Send that to us. But I did manage to catch one in... you have a best chance to get it on the air if you email it. I did catch one on Twitter that says Supernormal Step at supernormalstep.com has passed 1 year. So congratulations on that. There's another one I'm absolutely missing. Oh, wait. Dead Winter. It has a different... And deadwinter.cc has hit 300 strips, and for each of his 100 strips, it's animated, and episode 300 is very animated. In fact, he had to break it up into two different GIFs because the computer wouldn't let him.
And it's a beautiful comic.
And it's awesome. Is. I want to get this guy on the show. I like the way he paints the or whatever, however he creates the comic, if it's like a digital painting or whatever it is, and
he's really nice too.
It's an awesome zombie comic, or however,
sort of zombie
comic. great characters. Obviously, there's a lot of thought behind this, this story. And, yeah, I really would like to get them on. And once we start whittling down my scheduled episodes, I think I will try to get them on. But looking at our other another milestone is the Wannabe Pirates is celebrating its second anniversary at thewannabepirates.com. I got a press release, apparently.
Ooh.
Well, I get press releases actually frequently.
Oh, that's exciting.
Well, I don't really read the whole thing on the air, but it's a CG comic. So people can go ahead and check that out. It looks fair, or I guess not, or I have no idea anymore. The cover art's giving me the email shows some CG stuff, and the link brought me to a black and white page. Oh, okay. Our second year saw big changes as the Wannabe Pirates switched to being fully CG and expanded from 2 days a week to 5 days a week. Ah, I see. So, all right. Well, there's something going on there. So there's that. And we have a couple of pieces of news. We have some people may have seen this already, but the Escapist Magazine, escapistmagazine.com, has a contest. They are looking to have people submit basically to become a paid web cartoonist for their website. Comics a week is what they're asking for. And I looked through like the rules and such and the legal stuff. And from what I gathered, you're basically with all entries become a non-exclusive permanent license for them to use, reuse, or sell, or whatever. But you still get to keep your own. But you still get to keep it.
But it's non-exclusive.
It's non-exclusive, which means you, and it's a non-exclusive license, which means you still keep it.
Right.
Nice.
But and as far as what the winner does, it sounds like negotiations happen with the winner, so they don't specify
how much you get paid.
That or ownership or anything like that. So it's. There's a negotiation for it, so it's not like, you know, something's in stone. It's negotiation. Yeah. So, but it's definitely something worth to look at, and it seems a little bit more like something could actually really come of this versus just, you know, just the general, hey, we're going to have a webcomic creation contest, and it's all, like, kind of whatever. But, you know, The Escapist that holds, like, zero punctuation and other things that people may have... Most people have know about zero punctuation, video game reviews. So they're probably looking for video game related comic ideas. But we'll go ahead and link that in our show notes. They have until the end of this month, actually, so not too terribly long. But as they're saying, they are looking for somebody who can consistently give two comics a week. And so there's that. People can look for more information on that. Also, the Webcomic List Awards at thewebcomiclistawards.com have their 2009 awards, and I would click through it, but it's been very slow for me right now. But it's kind of done in the way where the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards, where they have a comic presentation for the winners, so people can go ahead and check that out, thewebcomiclistawards.com. And I think, oh wait, one more milestone. Zordic at Zordic.com is 10th anniversary.
Wow.
I think there was a little bit of a break there, and then he relaunched, as we've mentioned before. So go ahead and check that out at Zordic.com. I believe that's all the news we have right now, unless somebody in the chat room has any news for us. Glancing over really quick, I don't see anything. So, wait, am I recording? I am recording, but for some reason I'm incredibly quiet. So that sucks.
Doesn't sound that way.
No.
Well, I mean, it sounds normal, I should say.
Yeah, sounds not nice to me.
Well, it sounds normal to you, but it's not recording right on my thing, and that's what's most important.
Uh-huh.
It is. Otherwise, I have to run it through Levelator and several filters and make sure it sounds right. Why is it so quiet again? I thought I fixed you. Anyway.
All right, then.
Let's see. There's that. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I am missing. Once again, if people who are interested in sponsoring the Webcomic Beacon, you can go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise and get 2 30-second spots on the show, 30-second spots on the actual recording, and as well as a standard banner in the individual post. These are what help us get to conventions and pay for advertising. And right now, the people that are advertising on this site are on our Project Wonderful banners on webcomicbeacon.com. We have the PH Factor Emporium at phfactor.ws, your source for steampunk items such as goggles, guns, and other accessories. Let me refresh the page, make sure we have everything current. Yep, he's still advertising, and... and loading. Aha! Alone in a Crowd has our tower band at AIAcrowd.com. Go ahead and check that out. Let's see. Help a poor kitty out of a tree. Read Alone in a Crowd. And our banner ad has Gypsy Girl Press, which, has Gypsy Girl, but it's basically a hub site for all of the different things that... what's his name, Tanya?
John?
John Peters. That's what I was going to say, John Waters, but that's not right.
No, that's a different person entirely.
Yeah, John Peters.
Radio Chaos.
Yeah, he has a lot of different comics he kind of updates. So that's a hub site, so go ahead and check that out.
His 24-hour comics are remarkable, by the way. Nobody should be able to do anything that pretty in 24 hours.
Well, who made you queen?
Me. Well, clearly. I thought we'd already discussed the egocentricism.
Ah, yes. So, in any case, if there's anybody else that is going to PenguinCon, I'm trying to set up another room to try to get a couple other people to be able to go by splitting a room.
I would want to go.
I still have an extra bed because Mark won't sleep in it. So.
Next year. You guys are going to do it 2011, right?
Maybe. We'll have to see. Actually, stay on the line after the show and before we go. Let's see what other news that we have here. Let's see. Yeah, you can follow the Webcomic Beacon at Twitter, at Webcomic Beacon. And we're also on Facebook. For those who like Facebook, you can go to our main website. And on our left-hand panel... you can see our Twitter and Facebook links. And for those who are interested about upcoming episodes of the Webcomic Beacon, go to webcomicbeacon.com/calendar. And next week, we have no show scheduled, and we'll likely not have a show then. I have been trying to do the second Sunday is our day off. But if something comes up at the last minute, I might end up just doing something and... and who knows? Sunday, February 21st, we should be having Megan Rose Gedras on the show. And February 28th, we should have Jenny Breeden. And March 7th, we should have Gina Biggs. And we have a couple others penciled in for March, as well as some for April. So we'll let people know as soon as those happen. And I think that's pretty much it as far as this episode of the Webcomic Beacon. Is there any other news that I might have missed?
I don't think so.
Nope. I don't know.
Go to more cons.
Do what, Mike?
Go to more cons.
Go to more cons.
Yeah, I need to get my ass to one of these conventions that you guys are at.
Yeah,
I know you're so far away.
You have to fly over here. So.
I know.
Off there in the UK.
Oh well, it'll you guys happen. Got webcomics thing and
if you were coming to any convention in the United States, I would go, regardless as to what it was.
Hooray!
Well, in the meantime, that is all for the Webcomic Beacon this week. This is I'm Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesAndShit.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
This is Jilly Foo of DemonEater.com.
And I'm Nate of JazzandJess.com.
Thanks to everyone who showed up in our live chat rooms on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Goodbye!
Bye.
Bye.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Are you guys ignoring me, or do you just don't hear me?
No, we hear you.
I can hear you.
No, we heard you, and we're ignoring you.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm ready.
Please take control of the show now, Fest.
Yes, we're going to start the show.